I've said this before. I believe that few people can teach us more about the heart of God, can teach us more about the gospel than our brothers and sisters with special needs. We need them maybe more than they need us. We need each other because together we are the body of Christ. And this world needs to see and hear from him. You know, our vision here is to connect the world with God and one another. And I don't know, at least in my short lifetime, if that vision to connect has ever been more relevant. I mean, probably more disconnected than I can remember. But just physically with, you know, stuff in the virus and the politically, there's just so many things pulling us apart. And I think your church's vision, our church's vision, to be connectors, man, that is everything right now. Connected to God and one another. And our tagline right now to kind of capture that, our kind of log line is dare to move. And I don't know how sticky that is or not. I don't know if you ever see a marketing campaign and you're like, well, I could have done better than that. You know, or something that you hear and you're like, that's kind of dumb, you know. For me, the latest one for me was Pizza Hut, you know. No one out pizzas the Hut. And I was like, that's not even a, you know, I got intellectually elite about it. I'm like, that's not even a noun. You can't change a noun to a verb, you know. But it got me. It got me. I'm driving around. That's just how I'm driving an errand. I'm driving around. I see Hobby Lobby. And I'm like, no one out hobbies the pull into Quick Trip to get gas, and I'm like, no one out quicks the trip. If song comes on that I'm standing, I hear this song, and I just immediately I think, no one out foos the fighters. I can't believe. And then I got hungry. It was lunchtime, and of course, no one out chicks the filet. And so, so it got me. Yeah, it's amazing. The silliest little campaign. So I don't know if Dare to Move is as sticky as those are, but you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to say, look, the stakes are high. Like what we do, you saw, it's the stakes are high what we do here. We don't want you to just intellectually agree. You get less than 0% of being a part of the church, being a part of following Jesus, if you're not on the move, if it's not daring you to move and follow. That's what Jesus says, right? Everywhere he goes. It's kinetic. He says, follow me, taking steps. And Jesus will never lead you to a place where you need to trust him less. Why would he do that? It's always about following and moving your priorities, your schedule, everything around him. And it's worth it. You know, he says, when you lose your life, you'll find it. When you're moving your life, you find it when you're moving it toward Jesus. So that's the way we're trying to describe it. And here's what I believe. You know, you'll see, you know, you'll hear more all month about this. We're doing this all month. You're going to hear more stories. You're going to see more stuff, and it's going to move you. Like, it will in here. But then Monday comes, and your life comes, everyday life. And what moved you in here doesn't move here. The hands and the feet. It just doesn't. And there's things that get in the way. And so this month, this is really what our prayer is, seriously, is you would hear the stories of what God's doing. You'd see the vision, even the visions he's given you for your own life personally. God would speak to you and tell you what for your family, for your business, for your ministry, for your leadership. And he'd give you these visions. And the things that get in the way of you saying yes to that, we would move. This month, we picked three that we could move the things that sideline us from actually letting our feet and our hands be moved toward the vision, not only in this church, but in your life personally. And so to do that, this one, we're going to move the worry mountain. Worry, everyday worry is the stuff that sidelines us, right? You see a video, you hear from God, he's saying, hey, I want you to be a part of this. I want you to move your priorities and your life around for this. And you're moved to do it, and then worry. Then you worry about something. So my prayer today is just that we would see God move that mountain of worry, get it out of the way, so we can move mountains with him. So that's it. How do we move the worry mountain? Well, to do that, we're going to go and look at a passage of Scripture. And this is where Jesus talks about worry. And he talks about it a lot, but I'm going to pick the very top the very top sentence. This is where he starts off. And he says, okay, I don't want you to worry. And he teaches on worry, but let's pick that first topic sentence. Here it is. This is it. This is in Matthew chapter 6. He says this, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. You know, most of life is every day. And when you look back on your life, the things that you did, the things that you accomplished, all those things, very few of it will be these big moments. It'll be the sum total of years, decades of everyday little things that you did that altered your life. That's what it is. So, and it's the everyday worry that keeps us from everyday following Jesus. So this is, he says, don't worry about everyday stuff, whether you have enough food to drink or clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Now, then he goes on, right? Don't worry about clothing, he says. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. He even says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the future. He's all these worries. But the thing about this passage that leapt off the page for me was the very first word. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry. And I realized, whoa, hold on. We got to go back because he's telling us something. There's something before the that. What's before the that? What's the source of the worry? What's the source of the problem? And I'm going to be honest with you. I was prepping for this over the summer, back in like July. I'm working on this, studying worry. I'm going to be honest with you. This sermon took a left turn. If this sermon for you today takes a left turn, like you're like, wait, I thought we were talking about worry. If it takes a left turn, it did for me. And if it takes a left turn and it starts poking at something that's a little bit hard to hear, it did for me. I mean, I'm in the middle of this, in the middle of the summer going through this study, and I'm like, well, I don't want to deal with that. I don't think I deal with that. Look, we're in it together at this point. So this is what happened. This is the verse before that. This is the source of worry. Ready for it? Jesus gives it to us. He says this, no one can serve two masters. You can try, but you can't do it. You're going to fail. No one can serve two masters, for you're going to hate one, love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I read that, and I was like, whoa, hold on a second here. Well, we're talking about worry. I'm not talking about money issues or greed or master of money. That's not what we're dealing with. Well, you got to bring money into it. We're just dealing with worry. Started to think about it. I'm like, well, maybe when I worry, I'm trying to think about my worries. Well, I'm just worried about, the whole, how the economy and the pandemic, and I'm worried about my job, making sure my talents are maximized. I'm worried about, I'm worried about making sure that I'm making a difference. I've been worried about this stuff, but is there something behind it that I didn't know about? I think Jesus is so smart. He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So like Jesus, he knows. If Jesus asked this question to the audience, like I'll put it up here. He goes, anyone here struggle with greed? No one's gonna go, right here, me. I'm greedy. Money. Money, please. I just love money. No one's gonna do that, right? No one. And then let's say Jesus defines it. Let me give you the definition. Maybe this will help. Maybe the definition will help. Greed. Definition, enslaved to money. Anyone here enslaved to money? Oh, yeah, no, that's me. I'm enslaved to money. I didn't know I was greedy, but really I'm just enslaved to money. No one would say that. No one would admit to that. No one wants to do that. But then Jesus asked this question. Anyone here worry? Anybody worried these days? And we go, I'm worried. And Jesus goes, okay, look, I'm going to tell you what's behind that. Like a good doctor, he does this. You come into the doctor's office, you're like, I'm worried. The problem is in my knee, or I got this worry thing. And Jesus does all the tests. And he goes, okay, I'm going to tell you something. What you got, it's not worry. It's behind it. There's some greed there. Now, I know you're like, man, this sermon definitely took a left turn. And I brought a friend today. So, sorry about that. But I'm just teaching what Scripture says. This is what Jesus says. And let me be honest with you. Some of you, I mean, my wife's a therapist. I know we worry and anxiety come from a lot of places. Some of us, I'm gonna be honest, today, this might be a breakthrough today. If you're willing to let Jesus gently and graciously through scripture, if you let him talk to you, you've been talking to people asking, you know, where's this worry come from? You're worried all the time. You're getting, trying to get advice. You're talking to your family, friends. You're worried. And you can't figure out where it comes from. And you don't know where the source is. And maybe today Jesus is saying, listen, it's not out there. It's not out there, the circumstances. That's not your source of worry. And even if it was, you can't change that. So that's a bummer news, right? When you worry about something that you can't change, that's terrible. But hey, wait, maybe your worry is actually, it's not out there. It's in here. And it's coming from a place you didn't expect. You know, Jesus, he does this again. He teaches on this topic of money. And he teaches on particularly greed, you know, the enslaved to money, right? The master problem, which is really what it is. There's another passage of scripture where he deals with it in Luke chapter 12. And let me just set the context. Here's what happens. Some guy comes up to Jesus. This is a real story. Some guy comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, I got a problem. My brother won't give me my fair share of the inheritance that's being passed down. You know, my family's passing down inheritance. My dad's given me a portion of the estate. My brother won't give it to me. And I'm just worried about the injustice, right? I'm paraphrasing, but he's worried about the injustice. Look, just trying to make sure it's fair. That's all. And look at what Jesus says, right? He comes to him, right? This is the first thing Jesus says about it. He says this, Luke chapter 12. Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by what you own. Can you imagine being that guy? Right? You're like, well, where did the greed come? No. Jesus, like, I'm just worried about injustice. You know, I just want to make sure this doesn't happen to somebody else. That's all. It's about fairness. And Jesus is saying, nope, it's not. It is about greed. He does the same thing. He looks over, he goes, nope, it's not injustice. You're worried about that? It's actually, that's the problem. Now, here's the thing about be aware. When you're be aware, on guard, okay? For those of you that need the literary grammar nerds out there like me, that's an active tense verb. That means be proactively, this is a commandment from Jesus, be proactively setting up and fortifying barriers around the perimeter of your heart in this issue. Be proactively doing that. And let me tell you, when you stop doing that, when you think you have it whipped, the moment you think you're like, sermon on greed, I don't need that. The moment that happens, if you ever walk into a sermon on greed and you go, I can check my fantasy team, make sure everybody's starting today, it needs to start. The moment you check out of it because you think you have it whipped, you're not, look, at the minimum, you're not obeying the commandment of Jesus, but you're definitely not putting up any boundaries and guarding against it. When you're guarding against something and you're being aware of it, you assume that it's trying to find a way in. And you assume that you are susceptible to it without putting up guards. This is the only, you realize this is the only sin where Jesus says to be on guard against it. You don't have to be on guard against adultery. You know when you're doing adultery. You don't have to be on guard against stealing. You know when you're stealing stuff, right? You don't have to be on guard against murder. You know when you're murdering somebody. You don't have to be on guard against it. You have to be on guard against greed. This thing is wily, it is nefarious, it'll sneak in there. You think you're just, I'm just worried about, you know, making sure my kids are set up well and making sure retirement, making sure I'm just prepared and mitigating risk and making sure I'm just utilizing my talents and my jobs the way I need to be doing it and advancing in my career. It presents as all kinds of stuff. He says all kinds of greed. But underneath it is something worse. It's a master problem. It's an enslavement. It's a bondage problem. So here's what we're going to do. How do we get out from this? Well, let's just start with taking Jesus' advice. Okay, let's just start here. This is going to sound really basic, but I guarantee you for some of us, for me, this was where I had to start. Okay, maybe you're more godly than me. And that could be, look, I'm not a pastor because I'm the godliest guy in the room. I'm just here because like God called me to this job. But I'm telling you, this is where I had to start. I had to let Jesus, ready for this? I had to let Jesus tell me my worry problem. Could be a greed problem that I needed to be aware of. I had to just let him do that. I had to say, you know what, Jesus, you can tell me that. Go ahead. I don't want to assume I got this thing whipped. I don't want to assume that I've mastered this thing. I will let you tell me that. I will look at my worries. I will take inventory and let you challenge me in this area. Maybe for you, that's all you got to do. You just need to start there. Would you at least let him tell you that? But then, number two, you got to take measurements the way Jesus takes measurements. You know, you got to measure your life differently. You got to measure. You measure stuff, right? You got to take, you take inventory on your life, on what's valuable, what's priority, what's important. You got to change your measurements. Use Jesus's. Would you let him do it? What's fascinating is he actually explicitly gives us his measurements. Explicitly. And I used this passage last week, and it, just like he says, there's all kinds of greed, there's all kinds of ways you can give. There's all, you can tithe way more than money. You can tithe your time, your talents, your skills, your abilities. You can tithe all kinds of stuff. So just like there's all kinds of greed, there's all kinds of ways you can give. The one that Jesus highlights here is a financial one. He does give a, give us that measurement that way. But I shared it last week. I want to share it again. It's in Mark chapter 12. Here it is. Mark chapter 12, I'll read it from the screen here. This is it, Jesus' measurements. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple. He watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. The poor widow, it's a real woman. Poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. He's watching this unfold, and then he says this to his disciples. He pulls them over, he said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, and this is his measurement. For she gave a tiny, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she's had to live on. Here's Jesus' measurements, right there. You know, I hope you do this. When you walk out, you'll see the booklet, the Dare to Move booklet. You'll see also the pledge cards. Those are so helpful. Those help us plan. You know, we try to be super smart and wise stewards of whatever God gives us. And so knowing where people are at, what their giving goals are, just knowing that, that helps us plan. That just helps us link arms with you as a party of the church and make plans. And let me tell you something. You're going to grab one of those, and if you do it, and you're going to pray about a number, right, this month. You're going to pray about a number. The last Sunday of this month, you're going to turn those in. You can do it online too. And you're going to pray about that number. But let me tell you something. Measure it differently. Use Jesus's measurements. This is what I want for you. I want with your, not just your, that thing. I want with your priorities, your to-do list, how you steward your skills and abilities. I want this for your whole life. But measure it the way Jesus does. That's all I want. Don't measure it the way the world does. Measure it the way Jesus does. And this is how he does it. It's not the amount. It's not the size of that number. Ready for this? It's the size of the sacrifice. It's faith. What are you living on? Are you cutting into the things that you get your rest from, you know, that you get your reprieve from? Are you cutting into things that maybe are feel like you're kind of part of your life's going out, you know? Because Jesus says, when you lose it, you're gonna start finding it. But is it cutting into life? Or is it just coming out of surplus? Is it just, it actually doesn't, it's materially really not that much of a pinch at all. It's just coming out of surplus. Jesus is saying, listen, he measures by faith. Faith is what you live on. That's what you're getting your life from. Is it cutting into anything? I mean, when you're talking about your kids, is it like, hey kids, look, I know you want to go to another soccer practice this week, but it's gonna cut into life. We're going to Awana, we're going to Greenhouse, we're gonna go to church. I know it's getting up a little bit early, it's a little inconvenient, but we're cutting into life. We don't live on those things. We live on the master. Those things don't master us. They don't have veto power. The master, Jesus, has veto power. Are you cutting into other masters in your life? Other things that have a say in your life? Are there things you can't do? Are there levels of things that you want, but you got to go down because you don't live on it? You don't live on it. It's cutting in. There's a way to put it. This is one way to describe what I'm trying to create. I'm trying to help us understand. When following God gives you a problem, that's called faith. Is anything you're giving, anything you're doing with your energy, your schedule, your time, your skills, is it causing a problem? I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've ever had to choose between eating that day or giving something to God, but that's what that's what the widow did. Is any of your obedience, any of your following God, is it costing you anything? And if you're thinking to yourself, why is this Jesus's solution to worrying less? This is going to cause me to worry more. This isn't going to make, because here's the thing, let me tell you, when you make God have your problems, when you create problems with your following God, you can trust him to own your problem. He will be the God that takes the problem. And let me tell you something, you can trust God with your problems more than you can trust yourself. I mean, if your problems in your life are all on you, then yeah, you got reason to worry, right? If they're all on your income, if they're all on your resume, if they're all on your marriage, if it's all your source of your solutions for problems or on other things, you've got reason to worry. But when you live by faith, you're saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm aligning my life and my values along your values. And whatever happens is now your problem. And can I tell you something? You can trust God with your problems. Here's why. He measured his life. He measured his life. You think about the value of the life of God, right? We put the security detail around really important people, right? Think about how much security we put around people in government, people, celebrity people, how much we think our society would say is important people, how many people we put around them for security because their life is valuable, right? Think about the value of God's life, okay? Even if you're not a Christian, you're watching this, you're here today, you're like, I don't believe in God. Just for a second, believe in God, pretend he's real, and then think to yourself, how much is that life worth? He's the creator. He's the sustainer of the universe. He keeps everything going. Think of how valuable his life is. Then think about the value of his one and only child, his son. Think about how valuable that is, how priceless that is. Whatever measurement you got, it's valuable. And that God, he measured your life. He measured it, every square inch of it, to the bottom of it. He measured it. He knows all about it. He knows you better than you know you. He knows all the stuff, even the greed that you don't even want to admit to. He knows all of it, all the sin, all the stuff that no one knows. He knows it. He's measured it. He's measured your whole life to the end. He knows what's coming. He's measured your life. And then he takes his life, the life of his one and only son. He allows that life to be beaten, to be spit on, to die, to end. He allows his life to end so that yours can go on living for eternity in peace. Listen, your worry problem is a master problem. And letting Jesus be your master is the solution. Here's why. Ready for this? He's the only master that will serve you. He's the only master that will serve you. He came not to be served by you, but to serve you. Every other master, you will end up serving. Everybody else, every other thing in this world, you're going to end up serving. It's going to cost you everything, including your soul. But he's the only master that when you serve him, he's actually serving you. He's the only one you can trust, and he's the only one that's going to keep you safe. I was in Denver, Colorado, a couple months ago when I was working through this, and I was talking to a young man. He's younger than me. He's got 3 master's degrees, one of them from Princeton. He knows several languages. He's brilliant. Could get any job he wants here in America. Could do whatever he wants. And he's got 3 beautiful little girls, you know, around my kid's age, you know, 4, 5, really little. And then he's married, and he serves in a part of the world I can't tell you about, because it's too dangerous. It's a It's a Muslim country where you're not allowed to be a Christian, and his life is under constant threat of danger. His place of work has been car bombed a couple times, and the school bus that his kids ride to school on has been shot at with AK-47s. And every Sunday, he has to kneel down and he has to look his daughters in the eye, and he has to say, "Hey, Mommy and Daddy, we're going to go to church today. We're all going to go to church today as a family. So put your dresses on, get ready, because as Christians, this is what we do. You see, we go and we worship Jesus, and we sing about him, and we read about him, and we talk about him, and we encourage other Christians toward him. That's what we do as Christians, and so we're going to go." And he knows that when he says that, the odds are reasonable that something terrible could happen in that church that day. He knows that. And every Sunday, he has to make that choice. He has to do that. And this is what he told me. He said, "Brian, people think I'm crazy. My own family thinks I'm crazy. But I have learned this about God. That you are no safer than when you are in the very center of God's will. And I know we are called to love these people, to serve them, and tell them about Jesus. And we are no safer, and our kids' souls are no safer than when Mommy and Daddy are saying yes to the heart of Jesus, when we are aligning our values to the things that break his heart, that he is about, when it's his character that aligns our priorities. We are no safer than when we say yes to Jesus, because he's the only master. He's the only master that is worth losing everything for, because he has given us everything we need." You know, I don't know. I have this kind of crazy vision and idea. I don't know if it's going to happen. I hope it does. I think it very well could. That woman in the story, that was a real woman, that widow, right? That woman in the Jesus' story, that's a real widow. She's a real person. And I'm just going to have this idea that we're all going to be in heaven together, and I'm going to have hair. And I'm going to come up, I'm going to find you guys, the 9:30 service. I know the 9:30. I know what you guys are about. So I'm going to find you guys. I'll get you all together. "Hey, guys, hey, it's Brian." You're like, "Who, Brian who?" I'm like, "Brian with hair." And you're going to be like, "Oh, okay, yeah." I'm like, "I know. It's curlier than I wanted." I'm going to be like, "Hey, guys. Let's go find the widow. Let's go find her. She's here somewhere. Let's go find her. And we'll run up to her. We'll go up to her. We'll say, hey, you don't know us. All a couple thousand of us. We're from Wisconsin. It's got cheese in it and stuff. It's like 2,000 years later after you were alive on the other side of the planet. You don't know us, but hey, we heard about that day where you had just two pennies. God, Jesus told us about that day. He's there. He saw you. And he told our church about it through his word. 2,000 years later, halfway across the planet, we heard about it. And I don't know what you thought, what kind of difference those two pennies were going to make. I don't know what you thought God was going to do with those two pennies. But we're here to tell you. We're here to tell you today what God did with those two pennies. You see, when you put those two pennies in, God told us that story, and God moved our hearts 2,000 years later to give our lives, our schedules, our energy, our abilities, and our money to move mountains. There are people that came to Christ because of it. There is a whole unreached people group that came to Christ. There are kids with special needs that did not know Jesus that now know him, and look at them. They're walking around. They're here with us because of your two pennies. That's what God did with it. I don't know what you thought, but that's what happened. And we're walking proof of it, and we're here to say, thank you for giving. Because Jesus took it. He took those two pennies, and he multiplied it into lives changed. I don't know what she thought in that moment. I mean, I don't know if she was there, and she's going, my whole life, I lost my husband. I'm a widow. I got nothing. What is God gonna do with this? What can he possibly do with two pennies? Is it even worth it? Why don't we be the ones? Why don't we be the ones to go tell her it was worth it? We're glad you did it. It moved us. Can I be honest with you? Let me tell you something right now. If you knew, if let's say you were the widow, let's say you were the widow or the widower, and you had those two pennies on that day, but difference is you know the future. You know what happens. You know that for 2,000 years, generations were changed, lives were altered, mountains were moved, people were saved, giving happened, all because of the two pennies that you're about to drop in, and you can see Jesus. You know who he is. He's watching you, and he's going to tell Mark to write about it, and for thousands of years, your story is going to move people. And you got to choose between that or a meal that day. What would you have done? There's no way you would have pocketed those two pennies. Listen to me. Listen to me right now. This is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. Listen, listen, listen. That is the offer to you. Right now, that offer still stands right now. You have pennies. You have time right now. You have abilities. You've got skills. That offer stands right now. You have it. It's in your hands. You got it. And it will, if you give anything to God, he's going to use it, and it will alter generations. It'll alter people's souls for eternity. It'll share the good news of the gospel in ways that you will spend eternity with people coming up to you and saying, hey, you don't know me, but that day, that church service where you wrote that number down or you gave that thing or you volunteered and shared the gospel with that little kid in Discovery Land, all that stuff, you don't know me, but they had kids and then they had kids. And because you did that, I'm here. And you don't know me, but I'm just here to say thank you. You'll spend hundreds of millions of years from now hearing from people. If God can do it with two pennies, imagine what he could do it with what you got. Gotta be honest with you, I know we're not a church that's got tons, we're not in New York City, we're not in LA, we don't have lots of money here. But let me tell you something, I would take the church any day of the week. I'd pastor the church who gives the pennies. I would take that church any day of the week, and I want you to be a part of that kind of church. I want you to be that kind of church, because that kind of church doesn't have to worry, because we found a master that's given us everything and is worth everything we got. As you leave, grab a card. Grab a little note about the pennies and save them. Hang on to them. Hang on to those pennies. Because one day you might find yourself in a place where you got nothing. Something happened. And you think, I got nothing. I got nothing spiritually. I got nothing physically. I got nothing materially. Remember, it don't take much at all as long as you give it to God. Let's pray. Jesus, we are broken. We got greed problems. But mostly, Lord, we got master problems. We got master problems. We want you to be our master. We want to give you our life. You own it all anyway. And you're the only one we can trust. You're the only one that serves us. So Lord, I just pray you would loosen not the grip of our hands on our stuff, but the grip of our stuff on us, so that we can be free of worry and we can run hard after your mission and see mountains moved for your glory. And we get to be a part of it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.